Okay. Hey, everybody. I'm on finally. I don't know, my screen says start my cam. I hope that's not going. So. Okay. Okay. Here we go. Hey, good to see y'all, or good to talk to y'all again. It seems like just seeing you here recently. Sort of rainy, sort of type day today. And there's Chip. Good to see you, Chip. Hey, we're going to do this evening. I'm going to do my talk again, except I'm going to do a little bit of the beginning, and then we're going to get it finished this time. I guess when I put it together, I put too much together in that talk that I had this weekend. So we'll have a little prayer here to get started, and then we're going to talk away. So, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, we thank you this evening for bringing us together, and thank you especially for getting everybody back. To the best of my knowledge, everybody got back home safely. And with those that are still traveling, I think Tony and Doherty are still traveling. And Ronnie and Lori's not quite home yet, but they're listening this evening. And just ask you, Father, to be with them, get them home safely. And ask you to be with Gary's gone up in Michigan. Good word. We've got everybody all over the world here. Be with Gary and have him be careful with his play with their toys up there in Michigan. And Father, I just ask you to this message would be something that would help others to be able to grow in the Word and the mystery, and give us knowledge and wisdom to be able to back up the story that we so faithfully believe in. In your precious name we pray. Amen. So I guess I'm going to start here with what I had was I'm going to talk about 12 different facts, F-A-C-T-S, facts that the Gentile believers had where they were before Acts 28:28, and then what happened after Acts 28:28 to the Gentile believers, and especially what happened to them if... Listen to me on that. If they bought into Paul's post-prison message. And the first fact that I talked about the other day was the Gentile believers were in a second-rate position compared to the Jews. Because I guess the bottom line, they were placed in a position to receive blessings only by being... The only way they could get any blessings of any kind was to be grafted into the true olive tree as a wild branch. And where did it tell that to us? If you'll turn your Bibles, we're going to do a little moving around this evening. We're going to go to Romans 11, 16 to 24. And we're going to key in on verse 23. But Romans 11, starting at the 16th verse, says, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree." Verse 18, "Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in." And verse 20 says, "Well said, because of unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. But for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Behold, therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God and those who fell. Severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also shall be cut off." Verse 23, "Also, if they do not continue in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." For last verse here, 24, says, "For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own tree? And let's consider a point here in verse 23. It says, the last part of that says, for God is able to grant them in again. I guess this, what this means is that at one time, Israel did have had a special, vital relationship with God. And since the fall of Adam and Eve, this relationship has depended on a God-given faith. Abraham had his relationship, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Joseph, and the prophets all displayed this special faith, either by what they had said or what they did. It is also this relationship that God is going to restore to the unbelieving Israel. And I think the second point here you've got to look at and understand is that this verse makes it crystal clear that God is the one who is able to graft them in again. And the third point is that we can expect the majority of Jews to remain in unbelief even during the rest of this church age. And we got to keep in mind that Paul here is talking here. He's addressing the Gentiles in this section of Romans. He's explaining to them that God has not given up on Israel. They're not doomed to permanent unbelief, but the time will come. He will graft them into a relationship with himself in the kingdom. God's decision to give the Gentiles faith to believe the gospel was not because they were better than the Jews. In fact, if anything, they were worse than the Jews. His decision was based on love. God's decision was based on love, prompted by mercy, and was primarily designed to aggravate the Jew, to try to be like the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, this all happened before Acts 28:28. But what happened after Acts 28:28, when the Gentile position changed? Because these Gentiles who accepted Paul's post-prison message learned that the church, which is his body of Christ, where Christ is ahead, now the Jew and the Gentile are equal because of this one new man that he talked about in Ephesians 2:15. But what else happened for the Gentile believer who believed in Paul's new post-prison epistles, teachings? And we're not going to read it, but in Ephesians 2:19 through Ephesians 3:6, if you're going to notice here that in chapter 2, verse 19, he talks about them being fellow citizens with the saints. In verse 21, he talked about them being fitly framed together. And in verse 22, he talks about the Gentiles are being built together with the Jews for a habitation or dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And in chapter 3 there, which follows right behind this story, it says 3:6, it says, Christ and joint members, and also they're partakers of his promise. Now, listen to this part. They're partakers of his promise in Christ. It's not Abraham. It's important to know that this is one of the differences. And the joint partakers are even on equal footing. Let's go to fact number 2. It says, before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers' blessings came by becoming the children of faithful Abraham through faith. The blessings during this particular time could only come through the promises that were given to Abraham. Now, this is before Acts 28. The biggest difference between a Jew and Gentile was not so much race as it was the promises of Abraham. Now, we're going to turn our Bibles for where it backs up this statement that I've made. Go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. That's Galatians 3, 6 through 9. Galatians 3, 6, it says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now here's our verse. Verse 9. So then those who are of faith, we're talking about are those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham. Now I want you to understand that the book of Galatians was written somewhere around 52 A.D. This is approximately 8 years before the end of Acts. So when you make quotes from the book of Galatians, you got to be careful when you mix them together with the facts of the post-prison epistles. So here we're going to go to the answer to this thing here. Let's go to Acts 28:28. The Gentile believers who accepted this post-prison message learned that when Israel was set aside, there were no more blessings that could come through Israel or through Abraham, such as land, because Israel had an earthly hope, and they expected to spend their future life on the earth. Even when you talk about the New Jerusalem is mentioned, which comes down from the new heaven to the new earth. After Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers have no part with Abraham. In fact, I mentioned this the other day. In fact, Abraham is not mentioned in Paul's writings after Acts 28:28. In the dispensation of the mystery, all are blessed. This is important to know. They're all blessed in Christ, they're not blessed in Abraham anymore. And these blessings are not on the earth, but these blessings are in the heavenlies, or heaven places, or far above all. And where do we find that? I referred to this before, the answer book. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, verse 2 and 3. We're going to look at verse 3. Ephesians 1, 2 through 3. Okay, Tony's got her up there. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where does this happen? In heavenly places, in Christ. And we are immediately reminded that our blessings are all spiritual blessings. These are not earthly or material blessings, as was promised to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. These are not blessings in the flesh, such as the gifts of the Church of God in the book of Acts. Now, the Church of God run from, just a slight reminder here, the Church of God run from Genesis 11 to the end of Acts 28:28. So, there are spiritual blessings, and they are located in the super heavenlies, or in the above heavens, or in the Holy of Holies. Now, these places that I mentioned, this is a place where Christ is. It's above all principalities and powers. It's a place of the throne of God. It's where the church, which is his body, will be seated with him. It's also the place where the church will be on display to show to all the principalities and powers and the manifold wisdom of God. Not only some of the blessings, but I want you to look at the word there in that verse, says, but all the blessings that are spiritual. There's nothing held back. Our Lord is heir of all things, and we are heirs and joint heirs with him, so we are in line to inherit the all things. So now, all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ. And not one person in the Old Testament, when they were living, or just before, or just after they died, expected to go to the heavenlies when they died. Right now, as we talk, Israel is set aside. God is going to get back with them. So we're going to go to fact number three. It says, before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers were required to have two baptisms. One of them was by water, them with repentant Israel, and one was by Spirit to include the Gentiles in the Church of God. Now again, this Church of God was from Genesis 11 to Acts 28:28. So let's turn, if you will, to Acts. Where does it tell us this? Let's turn to Acts 10. Acts 10:47-48. And this is Peter's doing some talking here. Acts 10:47. There, Tony's got it. Can any man or anyone forbid or hinder water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48, and he, Peter, commanded them to the Gentiles to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they prayed for him to stay a few days. But now let's talk, okay, now that was before Acts 28, but let's talk about what happened after Acts 28, when Paul wrote, made some writings. It says, this is for the Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message. All of a sudden they learn that there is only one baptism. So if you will, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. In fact, while Tony's getting that put up there, the class that I had in the Lutheran church that I taught this stuff to, I'd ask a lot of the people to explain me their beliefs, and I said, I can explain you my beliefs, and I would show them Ephesians 4:4-6, and they all sat there in amazement. Well, that's pretty easy to understand, but it's 4:4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Ephesians 5:4-5. Or one Lord, one faith. Oh my gosh, look at that next one. One baptism. And verse 6, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Of the seven ones here in Ephesians 4:4-6, the one Lord is the central theme or central item in these three verses. He is the mediator between the first item, the one body, and the one God and Father. In this unity is one Spirit. It is linked in the structure with the one baptism. That means that the one baptism is not a water baptism, but it's a spirit baptism. It is your identification with the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of the Lord. This is a reality and has no need of any toast, such as water baptism. In this unity is one hope. In the epistle to the Colossians 3:4, this hope is expressed when Christ, who is our life, shall appear or be manifested, then shall you also appear or be manifest with him in glory. Now this is where we're at, this group, this is a vital truth for today that most people overlook. This hope is linked with the one faith. This hope can only be realized by faith. If you do not know about it, and do not receive it on the basis of faith, then it is impossible for you to enter into it. In fact, your position in the one body must be received by the one faith. Just having salvation or the possession of eternal life does not give someone a position. Your position is a further step which can only be taken by the one faith. This hope belongs to the position. Scripture tells us we are justified by the faith, and it clearly defines the object of that saving faith. Now, I'm sure everybody in this group, a lot of folks have faith They know people, folks that have a lot of faith in their church. They have faith in their good works. And they even have faith in themselves. But such faith, of course, will never justify the sinner before God. Saving faith must be in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Our personal faith is not as important as the object of our personal faith, which the object must be Jesus Christ and Him crucified and glorified. It's not merely just believe and be saved, but it is to believe in, that can be capital I-N, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The cross of Christ allows God to be just and also to be the justifier of him that believes in Christ. I guess, is your faith in the perfect Son of God and has his finished work? And is your faith in the perfect Son of God and his finished work? Only faith in him will save you. This is a baptism by the Spirit into the death of Christ. Let's go to fact number 4. Before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers could not have, they couldn't have any part or take any part in the church of God that took place from Genesis 11 to Acts 28:28. In other words, Gentiles could not serve as apostles. They couldn't serve as prophets. They couldn't serve as evangelists. They couldn't serve as pastors. And they couldn't serve as teachers. Why? Just because the church of God is concerned only the Jews. Now, where does it tell us that? Let's turn to the book of Romans. Now, again, while you're looking, Romans 9, verse 3 through 5. Now, I want you to keep in mind, when was Romans written? It was written about approximately 58 to 60 A.D. In other words, just before Paul had his cruise to Rome. Verse 3, Romans 9, 3. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother and my kinsman according to the flesh. Verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and service of God and the promises. Now, I want you to notice here what we just read. It sure doesn't say anything about Gentiles here. And verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom also, whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. But let's talk about what happened after Acts 28:28. The Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message learned that, or find out that, let's go, if you will, Tony, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 8 through 13, and I want to key in on verse 11. That's Ephesians 4, 8 through 13. All right, there you go. Verse 8. Wherefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men, not just Jewish men. Verse 9, now this, he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10, he who descended is the same one who also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What we've done here, we learn that after his ascension, he chose prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers from both Jews and Gentiles as gifts to the church, which is his body. The fact is here that Christ has given gifts to the church, which is his body, where Christ is the head. Okay, let's move on to fact number 5. It says, Gentiles, believers, were to be kept separate from the Jews by a middle wall of partition, which was at that time mainly ordinances. The Gentile was referred to as a grafted-in wild olive branch. He received his blessings and position from the root of the olive tree, which was the root was the Jew. It was a time when a Jew was first, and during this time, a Gentile could be saved and could belong to the church of God. If here goes, the Gentile observed 4 things. And if you want to, Tony, if you'd, Acts 15, let's do 18 to 20, and I'm going to key in on verse 20. Acts 15, 18 to 20. I'll start with 18 there. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, my sentence is that we trouble not them which were from above, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now, here's the rules of the game for the Gentiles. Verse 20. But that we may abstain from pollutions of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. And by observing these 4 rules or guidelines, the Gentile could become the spiritual children of faithful Abraham and could partake or share in the promises of Abraham. But now let's talk here a little bit about what happened after Acts 28:28. The Gentile believers who, especially for those that accepted Paul's post-prison message, learn that or find out that, let's see, Tony, Ephesians 2:13-16. I want to key in on verse 14. It's Ephesians 2:13-16. Giving you the old workout tonight, Tony. Ephesians 2:13-16. I'll start with verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who sometimes were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and was broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the hostility and hate, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself the two, Jew and Gentile, or the one new man, thus making peace. Ephesians 2:16 says, and that he might reconcile them both, Jew and Gentile, to God in one body, through the cross, having slain the enmity or the hatred between the Jew and the Gentile, thereby having abolished hostility and hatred, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, and made in himself Gentile into one new man, reconciled the Jew and Gentile to God in one body. So we got here is a new revelation, which we find that Israel has been set aside as a chosen people, and that God in grace again deals with all the nations, including Israel. And the thing that's really different is they're all on equal footing. But the middle wall partition is broken down. The Jew and Gentile are reconciled and prepared to accept each other by the one new man, especially since ordinances are no longer required. All right, we're going to go to fact number 6. And it says, before Acts 28:28, the gospel was always made known to the Jew first. Tony, if you would turn to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. There you go. Romans 1:16, Paul is writing here, and he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or Gentile." Notice the word order here. Remember, we're going to talk about that even more so as we go through here, but the Jew was first. Paul preached the facts of the cross message to the near Jews, but not to the far-off Gentile. Now, what happened in Acts 28:28, when the Gentile believers accepted Paul's post-prison message? Let's go, if you will, Tony, to Ephesians 2:17. Ephesians 2:17. "And Paul came and preached peace to you Gentiles, which were afar off, and to them that were near the Jews." Notice that Paul mentions here first that the Jews had peace preached to them, and then the Jews, a word order that gives no priority to the Jews. So the Gentile moved, he shuffled his chair around, and now he's ahead of the list. Now let's go to Ephesians 3:1-8. We've read this thing a million times, but we'll do it one more time. Ephesians 3:1-8. I want to look at verses 6 and 8. There it goes. Watch here. Ephesians 3:1 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Verse 6, "that the Gentiles," notice there, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power." And the last reference here is verse 8. It says, "unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is a grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." So now, the Gentiles have first consideration since Acts 28:28. Let's go to fact number 7. Fact number 7. This is the one I think I finished up on the other day, but the hope of the Gentile believers, it says, before Acts 28:28, the hope of the Gentile believers and the hope of Israel as members of the Church of God was to be caught up either after death or while they were alive into the air to meet and come back with the Lord when he comes to set up his kingdom on the earth. So where did they get that idea? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:17. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And this was, the 1 Thessalonians was written somewhere around, it was written just after Galatians and Hebrews, and when Paul was still free to travel. Just before his third missionary journey. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air," often referred to as the rapture, "and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In other words, they expected to meet the Lord in the clouds at the resurrection and to come back and take possession of the land that had been promised to their fathers. The Jews and the grafted in Gentiles had the Ten Commandments. They had various miscellaneous laws, they had ordinances, and they had circumcision. There was nothing in the Old Testament about anyone going to heaven or the heaven of heavens or the heavenlies or the holy of holies after death. But after Acts 28:28, for the Gentile believers who accepted Paul's post-prison message, we find out that the Gentiles' citizenship is located in the heavenlies. From that place, after his resurrection, he will await the manifestation of the Lord. And the other day, remember I said Colossians 3:4 talks about that we are to appear with him in glory. In Philippians 3:20, it talks about we are to have conversation with him in the heavens. And Ephesians 2:6 talks about he made us to sit together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we're talking about we're going to appear with him, we're going to have conversation, and we're going to sit together. I mean, that is, that sounds like a tremendous get-together. But let's talk here about the next fact. We're going to go fact number 8. It says, the Gentile believers took part in the Word of God, which was sent to Israel. Acts 10, verse 36, if you will, Tony. Acts 10, verse 36. Okay, got it there. It says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. But let's look what happened after the Acts 28:28. Paul writes the book of Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 3:1-4. Ephesians 3:1-4. And we're going to key in on verse 2. It says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Verse 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Put in parentheses, you could put the Gentiles. And verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So there, it went from, again, it went from being sent in Acts, which was written back when Paul was traveling around. It was written and the message was sent to Israel. And now we find after Acts 28, all of a sudden now the message is sent to the Gentiles. Let's go to number 9. Before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers took part in a calling which dated from or since the foundation of the world. Tony, if you would turn, if you would, to Matthew 25:34. Matthew 25:34. Matthew 25:34. It says, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from or since the foundation of the world. That's an interesting study sometime if you want to take the words from or since and study that out and compare it to some of the world. But let's talk here about what happened after Acts 28:28. The Gentile believers who accepted Paul's message learned that or find out that they had a calling which dated back before the foundation of the world. Tony, Ephesians 1:3-4. Ephesians 1:3-4. This is what happened to the new believers of Paul's message. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we got a little bit of difference between from before the foundation of the world or since the foundation of the world. And that's number 9. So now we're going to go to number 10 fact. Acts 28:28. The Gentile believers were identified with the Lord in his death, burial, and resurrection before Acts 28:28. But where does it tell us that? Tony, if you would go to Romans 6, verse 4. Romans 6, verse 4. There you go. Therefore, this was written again before the end of Acts. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. But then comes along Paul and the end of Acts, and he writes Ephesians, and this is, turn if you will, Tony, to Ephesians 2, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. There you go. It says, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace saved. And here's our Ephesians 2, 6. And has raised us up together, and he's made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places. With whom? We are to sit together in Christ Jesus. We learned that before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers were identified with him by baptism into death in Romans 6:4, and then comes along Acts 28:28, and next Paul writes the epistle of Ephesians 2:5-6, and it tells of the one new man and the Gentile believer that believes, and that this Gentile believer believes Paul's new message, now has got two more spiritual blessings added to them. So the Gentile believer is identified with Christ by baptism into death in Ephesians 6:4. Plus, Paul writes, we as believers are raised together with him, and we as believers are seated together with him. So now, they now enjoy the added blessings of being raised and seated with the Lord. Fact number 11. This one I thought was, I hadn't expected this one when I was doing this research, but the Gentile believers' blessings were in a place, before Acts 28:28, the Gentile believers' blessings were in a place where angels dwell. You will turn to Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, verse 22. And I want you to keep in mind on Hebrews, to according to Mr. Baker's chart, in fact, if you want to know where I got most of this chart, it's in volume 18, and then that volume is page 30, or at the bottom of the page, it's numbered page 78. But that's where I got most of this, and I've sort of took Mr. Baker's chart and I've added on to it. But Hebrews 12, 22, it says, but you are come into Mount Zion and to the city of living God, the heavenly New Jerusalem, and to the, there's a big word, innumerable company of angels. Now, the Greek form for innumerable means a myriad or indefinite number. In fact, if you look it up, it uses the reference 10,000. Angels. What was it that the apostles believed and taught concerning angels? A good illustration of what the apostles believed and taught is found in the book of John. John chapter 1, 50 through 51. John chapter 1, 50 through 51. This is where Jesus is talking with Nathanael. Verse 50. Answered and said unto Nathanael, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? Will you see greater things than these? Verse 51, and he said to him, now remember I said word order, verily, verily, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending or rising and descending downward upon the Son of Man. Remember I said earlier that the order that Paul presents words is very important. Isn't it interesting that ascending should go ahead of descending, and that ascending would suggest that the angels must have already been here on earth? Another example, Tony, it's up to you if you want to look at Genesis 28, verse 12. I'll read it if you don't want to get it. Genesis 28, 12, and it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending, or in other words, rising up and descending downward on it. Now, keep in mind that the angelic ministry was closely associated with Israel, the ministry of Moses and the prophets, as with that of Jesus. Now, I want you to think back. Angels came and ministered Jesus at the beginning of his ministry. Angels were present at the close of Jesus' ministry. Angels were found at the empty tomb. Angels were found at the ascension of the Lord. An angel even liberated Peter from prison. The testimony of Stephen discusses angels. An angel of the Lord appears to Moses in a flame or fire in a bush. But can you tell me where was the last recorded angelic ministry, or the last time that was recorded an angel? Tony, if you will turn to Acts 27, verse 23 and 24. Acts 27, verse 23 and 24. This is Paul's on his cruise to Rome. It says, an angel appeared as a stowaway on the deck of a doomed ship with Paul on his way to Rome. And this is the verse 23. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Now, Paul was the only one who recognized the angel, and Paul was the only one who heard his voice or message. Paul arrived in Rome soon after this, and from that day, in Acts 27, verse 24, there have been no more angel recordings in Scripture. No longer is it true that salvation is of the Jews or that the Jews first. Something must have happened somewhere, and I'm suggesting Acts 28, 28, or else we must rewrite 4,000 years of history. But what happened after Acts 28, 28? These Gentiles who accepted Paul's post-prison message and learned that or found out that, Tony, if you'll turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. Ephesians 1, 20, 21. Okay. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now listen to this. This is a key verse. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this earth, but also in that which is to come. The believing Gentiles' blessings were in a place far above all, above angels, and above all principality and power. Okay? Fact number 12. Before Acts 28, 28, the Gentile believers were blessed only if Israel was blessed. How'd that happen? Tony, if you'll turn to Romans 10, 18 to 20. Romans 10, 18 to 20. Give me a drink of water here. Romans 10:18. But I say, have they, Israel, not heard? Yes, verily, their sound has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But in verse 19, but I say, does Israel not know, or did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by them, the Gentiles, that are not my people, and by a foolish nation. I will move you, the Jews, to anger. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by them that did not seek me, manifest to them that did not ask for me. Okay, let's talk about what happened after Acts 28:28. Come to find out that the believing Gentiles who accepted Paul's new message were a people already chosen from before the foundation of the world. They were predestinated to be children also and accepted in the Beloved. Tony, I think this will be the last reference, and I know you think it's about time, but Ephesians 1:3-6. Ephesians 1:3-6. Ephesians 1:3-6. Got her. Thank you. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Okay, when you come down to the words predestined or predestination, you got to keep in mind that there is no such thing in God's word as being predestined to life or to be predestinated to death. Predestination comes into play only when it is concerning the body of Christ. Those who are in the body of Christ are included in the predestination. Being in the body of Christ, then we have an adoption. So did Israel, who was God's firstborn here on earth. But the ones who are believing Gentiles are a firstborn in heavenly places. There's a difference. This group that I'm talking about, believing Gentiles, this group is predestined and from among believers. Of the six times these words predestined or predestination is used, it is never used with an unbeliever. I want to thank you. Oh, you're losing care, Tony. I want to thank you all for listening. And Tony, especially thank you for all the references you have helped me jump around and complete this thing. But I would like to close with a prayer here, and then I'll shut off and let you talk. Okay, Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, thank you for this message and for showing us how this message is for us today and how. And we're asking that you give each one of us spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and I'm asking for a spiritual heart and especially a spiritual mouth to openly and willingly share with others the truth of what actually has taken place since the end of Acts 28:28. Father, there's a real message, and we got to take time and find it and stick to it. And Father, I just thank you for being with me and the group here this evening. Thank you for the weekend that we had and the time together. It was really special. In your precious name we pray. Amen.